ballpark.
Yeah, but 125 right now.
So nice. In the moment research. But I got to think that like a kid like this, 6'7" flamethrower, will get you out to the ballpark. We'll get you in the seats. This is the type of thing that brings, like, what are you doing tonight? I'm going to AmFam Field. What are you doing tonight? I'm going to go see this kid make his major league debut.
I think of, because the Brewers have had some pretty good prospects that have come through and they've made their major league debuts, whether it's Ryan Braun, Prince Fielder. Unfortunately for Jackson Churio, the Brewers were on the road last year, so his major league debut, you know, ended up being there, being out in New York. But when you've got a top prospect like this, a guy who is not just a top prospect in your organization, but a top 25 guy in all of baseball, and there have been very few of these prospects that have garnered the attention from Brewers fans of, oh man, I can't wait till this guy gets here. Can't wait till this guy gets here. Can't wait to, now it's here. Now it's here. Like, this guy is supposed to be one of your studs going forward, and now that debut is finally here.
You guys are getting a little too high.
What?
Can't get excited for
never
a debut.
Get too high, never get too low. You gotta guard against stuff.
Stop that crap. Yeah. No, I can be excited for a debut. I'm
1
not saying this
million percent.
I'm not gonna say that this guy's gonna go on and win 6 Cy Youngs and be the greatest pitcher in Brewers history. No, but I can be excited for him making his major league debut tonight. Why can't I be excited?
Because you're putting too much pressure on him.
For being excited?
He's not talking to him.
Yeah.
He's not telling him to his face these things.
Oh, he's just listening.
I'm not expecting
He's
no.
listening to the show he's, to get the flavor of the day.
He's sleeping is what he's doing.
Give him a little, you know. Never get too high. Never get too low. Especially in baseball. You can't get too high, can you?
Well, no, but like, so.
Football, you can get high. Well, you have to get high.
Agent Orange.
Agent Orange. you literally have. I wonder if. Baseball players, they used to back in the
day.
Well,
that's when amphetamines were the big thing in baseball.
But why would you do it in baseball? I don't get it.
A little pick
me up. Isn't that a cerebral just like...
I mean, it's just a
I mean, if I took Agent Orange and went and played baseball, I'm swinging at everything. I don't care where it is.
No, you just need that little pick-me-up, little energy.
Really?
Because you're playing day in, day out. Your body's a little worn down.
Okay.
There have been very successful... Brewers debuts. Freddie Peralta's major league debut back in 2018, he set a franchise record for strikeouts, 13. Now, we're not saying that this is going to happen for this kid, but the point is this idea that you're going to go out there and the nerves are going to get the best of him and he's going to be a shell of himself and you got to get through the major league debut, you got to get through that first outing and then you'll get the, he'll settle in and then like maybe that's how it'll shake out for this guy. But there are instances, Brewers specific, where guys have gone out there and really dealt like Freddie Peralta did in his major league debut. So let's get to this. What are the firsts? This is first start as a major league pitcher. What are the firsts from your life that stand out? And don't give us the, yeah, thank you. There it is. Yep, yep.
Well, that's, you know, that and.
I hope that's drinking and not the other thing.
Yes, there's the first there. Come on,
people. Talk about your first beer.
For someone that clams up. At the mere mention of the name Cindy Crawford, because you know your wife is going to get upset. Now you're just going to be openly talking about your first time doing that?
Why do you have to go there? Now I'm in trouble. It's a Thursday, one of my favorite days of the week. I've already texted the Blammer. He's in. Thanks.
So Chewy's is the first time he turned down Cindy Crawford. That was a memorable first for him.
I'm also the first time he turned down Augusta National playing golf down
there. That was really dumb. That might have been the dumbest one in my life.
Yeah.
On a private plane? I mean, what are you doing? I also did the same thing for Sawgrass.
I didn't know. Well, Sawgrass, you can get out. Like, I mean, it'd be painful to pay full freight there, but you could do that. You can book a tee time that's available to the public. Augusta National is not.
Did I tell you we got thrown out of Sawgrass?
First time Chewy got thrown out of Sawgrass.
Is this the first time you're hearing this?
This is the first.
I've never told that story.
No. I have heard most of your stories.
So Sawgrass is about a half hour north of where my in-laws live.
Okay.
In St. Augustine. My wife doesn't do real good with no's. So we go, she's like, oh, let's go check out Sawgrass while we're here. So, you know, the whole guard shack. She pulls up. She's driving. Yeah, we're just going to check the course out. You can't do that, ma'am. You need a tee time and you need to be on the list. No, I don't think so. We're just going to go and check it out. And she goes. She goes. All of a sudden, the guy's running into his car, his little security, Toyota Corolla, and pulls us over.
It wasn't a golf cart.
Ma'am, you have to exit the property right now, or we're going to call the police. Seriously? Like, Angie, will you just leave? It's kind of a soft throw out. But.
Still, first time you got thrown out of a golf course. Mm-hmm. All right.
If we could stick with golf courses, I'm sure, Gabe, now neither you or I have the honor, but your first hole in one is a monumentous moment where people literally framed the card, the ball, the tee, and put it up and save that thing.
This is sensitive. Because someone doesn't have one after 9,700 rounds.
I got something that's better. Hole-in-ones are overrated.
Eagle is not better. A double eagle?
Yeah.
You got a double eagle.
I do.
We call those albatrosses.
Nah, hole-in-one still.
It's better. It's better on the scorecard.
Would you rather be NFL MVP or Super Bowl MVP? Because Super Bowl MVP, you're getting a win along with it and a ring.
Wait a minute. I think, does this really bother you that you don't have a hole in one?
That I do.
Oh, wait, I didn't even know that detail. I didn't even know that was part of it.
No, it doesn't really bother me, but.
It irritates you a little bit.
I mean, the albatross is better, but, not that Chewy would know. He probably just shanked an iron off the tee, hit a tree, went in the hole.
Let me ask you a question about the hole in one. As somebody who is just getting into golfing, if you're on a par three, do you always have the camera rolling? If you're on a par three, do you have somebody recording on the off chance that it's a hole in one? Or does rolling the camera jinx it and make it less likely to happen?
I could not tell you the last time I was taping a buddy or myself on a par three.
So don't people want to have the photographic evidence? Or no, it's just sort of a word of mouth?
Well, yeah. I mean, you have the pictures afterwards. Maybe if you do...
Which the dumbest thing is, you know what the dumbest thing is?
Here we go. Buying everyone else a drink.
Isn't that dumb? Everyone should be buying you a drink. So I get a hole in one and I got to buy the whole club a drink.
So you know what's great about Wisconsin Country Club where I am at?
Yeah.
Anytime somebody gets a hole in one, I get charged $10. Because now you can go get drinks, but everybody else has to pay the $10 for the drinks.
That's a good way to do it.
They charge the club, and then that way you can have
drinks. Did you know that?
I thought that the Wisconsin club was playing into the bit and was like, you know who's really going to be hacked off about this? Gabe Neitzel.
Oh, no.
Put it on his tab. Make sure he knows that someone else got a hole in one.
But I learned about this because I had just recently joined when Steven Watson got his first hole in one.
Really?
And so the first charge I had on my first bill was
$10
hole in one from Steven Watson.
That is that's how they should do it. Yes. Never understood that.
Golf has a lot of them. First birdie, first eagle, first hole in one, all sorts of stuff like that. What about personal stuff? Or it could be sports related. Joshy, you were telling us this morning you have a very vivid memory of...
of hitting my first home run that actually, not a little leaguer, that went over the fence. One of those moments where I think, most people, the first time they do it, you almost don't believe it as it's happening. Like, you're running to first, and you're like, oh, wow, that's over the fence. I can jog now.
I got one gen-specific. First time you've been pulled over.
Hey, that is a big
moment.
How old
were you?
I didn't even tell you. I'm certain it was early in my driving career.
How about, if we stick there, your first speeding ticket or, any of those things where you're like, this is different. This is the first time you see it on TV. You see other people going through it as you drive by them. But the first time it happens to you is really like, huh. This can happen to me, I suppose.
You know what? It's probably going to piss you guys off. Been here how long? Since 92? What's the math? Whatever the math is.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had a speeding ticket in Wisconsin.
You got some wood over there?
I know. Yeah. never. In how many years? I've been pulled over.
But I feel you threw out a very important caveat there.
What?
In Wisconsin.
I've never had a speeding ticket in Wisconsin.
Yes.
You've had a speeding ticket before.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we all know what that's related to, right?
I don't like green to and gold. Think it has anything to do
you
with it.
You've told stories where it's definitely had something to do with it.
So you think it's just because you're handsome? The police officer's like, I couldn't in good faith give someone so attractive
But
a
I've
ticket.
Had a few. I think... Where the trade-off was to chat for a half hour, and I'm like, God, would I have rather had the ticket?
The biggest thing is the first time you got preferential treatment for being a Packer.
Thank you.
That yeah, would be that's a good
the
first.
The real portion here, because I imagine that's pretty cool. Hey, I go out there and I run around and smack heads with people and catch passes.
Yeah.
But now I got perks.
Well, because like 1993... I don't know how many special perks you're getting.
Right.
1995.
I had, 95, 96. I had a few.
Yeah.
Definitely had a few.
Like, all of a sudden you go to pay your tab and, huh, it's taken care of. Isn't that peculiar?
Yeah, that is another perk.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And they don't all have to be positive firsts either, right? When we were talking about this, the thing that jumped to my mind was I remember the first time I was fired. Now, it is the only time that I've been fired. It left such an indelible mark on me. But the first time I got fired from a job, that's a core memory.
High school? What do College?
You mean, what do you mean I can't work here anymore? What do you mean I can't make any more money? I still have to pay my rent this month. Can we put it off until the 30th?
Can I get one more check out of you?
I think first breakup. Formative. Mm. Formative for you and how you're going to handle it and grow and move past it. Because, I mean, especially if it happens at 15, 16, 17... It feels like the world's
15
ever.
Over here.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
that was a killer.
You think this is going to be it? I'm single forever now.
Did he tell you that you weren't attractive? Is that where you picked up that lesson from? Use that line down.
Hold
you know,
on.
Future?
If I dig into the archive, I can find the line from the note.
Was that a reference?
Well, so Jen once broke up with a guy.
Because he was ugly.
Because.
And she told him that.
I don't know if I've heard that story.
Yeah.
How it happened.
It's exactly how it happened. Do not let her tell you any difference.
When someone says, I'm not attracted to you, what are they really saying?
That's basically saying, D-G-L-Y, you ain't got no alibi.
It's tomato. It's a tomato tomato.
I will also offer the perspective that I had been trying for several, I wouldn't say hours, but an extended period of time to let him down easy, and he wasn't getting the hint. So at some point, Joshy,
you had to bring out the hammer.
That's right. Joshy, you believe in efficiency.
Trying to paint the corners.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now I just got to reach back and bring the fastball.
Nibbling around the edges. After a while, you got to just give him the gas.
No, but I did get a note on the bus, you guys. I was sitting on the bus. On the way to school, and he just handed me the
note.
And I was like,
no,
that stinks.
Brutal. And then I'm reading it, and I'm looking over like,
why?
Note on the bus. That's cold.
So yes, first breakup. That is a tough one. That one will hang with you. Don't you forget it. We're talking about first this morning as Jacob Mizorowski is making his major league debut at AmFam Field today for the Milwaukee Brewers. 6'7 flamethrower. A lot of excitement about what he can do for the Brewers going forward. Give us your first. Memorable first. Could be good. Could be bad. Don't give us the one thing that everybody wants to talk about. All right, Chewy already nailed it right out of the gate, so we don't need to hear that one. Memorable first. Ron in the Key says, I remember my first call into a GKB radio station. Sam Cassell trade. Shout out Billy Johnson and Steve Haywood, RIP. First call into a radio station.
Nice.
Ryan McGuanago says, how about the first time you poop in someone's yard? Yeah, you never forget your first time.
No. Still waiting for my first.
You know what, Josh? Keep your mind to it, pal. Anything's possible.
Yeah, exactly. Not with that attitude, right? We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We have to get to Jason Wilde, talk a little Green Bay Packers. We will continue taking your firsts all show long, your memorable first in honor of Jacob Mizorowski. The Miz, I guess, is what they're calling him, out at the ballpark. Also, a little bit of Yonsense. That's coming up on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm with Gabe here. I feel more confident in my left hand here, just cupping right now, other than my other hand cupping.
Mostly because I also...
I get a lot more work out of the right hand.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Talking to our teammate Jason Wilkie. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
I'm great, everybody. How are you?
We're talking about memorable firsts in honor of Jacob Mizorowski's first MLB start today at AmFam Field. Besides the obvious, and we keep saying that this morning as people are joining us at random times, what is the most memorable first from your life?
Maddie being born.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
No.
I think everyone thinks the same way Chewy did.
Yeah.
So that is the obvious one.
Well, yours is related, Jason. Let's be honest.
It is.
It's a Jason.
I don't mean to be whatever. I was trying to set up a joke there. I didn't need your help, Jeff.
I got one for you, Jason. First celebrity you ever met.
First, there was the night at O'Danny's in 1994.
I wasn't
when
there.
When I met, I know, but Brett Favre was, and so, and then the first time I talked to him when I was covering the team during the '96 season, I was like, hey, you know, I've actually met you before, and I mean, him and Frank were like behind the bar, like doling out drinks for free.
I was there.
Three seats to the wind. Were you?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I remember you. Maybe
I was upstairs.
Wasn't familiar with your game. Oh, okay.
You know who the first, and you'll like this, the first celebrity I met? Trevor Maddich.
Really?
He used to play for the Patriots.
Yeah.
Fantastic gentleman.
And there was a camp going on, and I think he was a first or a second round pick, and he showed up at the camp. And I was probably, I don't know, 10. I was like, wow, guy's big. Crazy.
And now look at you.
Jason.
Got you.
Bo Melton. What's going on? Is he going to be a DB now? Is he 1 foot out the door? What's going on there?
Yeah. It was interesting because we had a little bit of this debate with Brian Bulaga yesterday. Because look, I get this, right? Like in our life experience, when they move a player to a different position, that is a precursor to moving him out the door, right? Because mm-hmm. he's not good enough. I do think, and I acknowledge my bias, I really like Bo. Like, he's one of the really best dudes that I've covered. Like, just a really, really good human being. I've gotten to know his parents a little bit, and his brother plays for the Cardinals. Like, he's just... You know, he's kind of one of those guys that if your kids became professional athletes, you would love for him to be the kind of teammate and guy that he is. Okay, all that said, you know, I personally believe both him and LaFleur when they basically are saying, look, this is not a position change. This is a position addition. He has a niche role in their offense. He is certainly one of their few remaining core special teams players because, of course, he's under the age of 30. Because if you're over the age of 30, like Eric Wilson, they're not going to bother to re-sign you. But I really do think that this is a, hey, we're thin at corner during this camp. LaFleur and him had actually talked about this idea 2 years ago. Bo is not going to say no. Right? Because he understands A, his lot in his NFL life, and B, he thinks he can do this. But he was very adamant yesterday. I am not switching to corner. I am a wide receiver who is playing corner in addition to wide receiver and in addition to my special teams responsibilities. So, you know, the challenge is obviously, and I said this to Bo when we were talking yesterday, like, hey, that room is loaded at wide receiver. I mean, they've added the two draft picks. You've got Watson, who, again, you know, I'm not a doctor, and Tausch keeps giving me a hard time because he looks so good. I haven't seen him cut yet, but watching Watson run and throw medicine balls and everything else, I mean, he looks awfully good for a guy who tore his ACL in his right knee on January 5th. But you got him, you got Dobbs, you got Wicks, you got Reed, you got Melton, and you got Malik Heath all coming back from last year, right? So you got those six. Now you've drafted two more. So I don't know what that position will shake out as. And on top of that, you know, Mecole Hardman, the last 2 days, has ended practice with big-time touchdowns. So I don't know how much, quote-unquote, danger Bo is in terms of his roster spot. But I think when the head coach stands up there and says, I love everything about the guy, I do think that there is some value in that. So I'm going to choose to believe that this is a, hey, we think this guy could maybe do this. We brought up Travis Hunter to Bo, and Bo was like, look, no, he is a special player. He won the Heisman Trophy. No one should be comparing me to him. But I do think that Bo Melton is a valuable, you know, complementary piece on this roster. And I also think on a team where there's still a lot of guys that we're hearing about how they're learning how to become leaders and everything else, I think it's important to remember that this is one of those kind of glue guys on your team that from the quarterback on down, everybody loves him and thinks that he's a really important chemistry piece as well.
But you can't just keep a special teamer, Jason. You just listed off.
He's not that though, Gabe.
No, but
like in 2023, he was the first guy to have a 100-yard receiving game for them. Like, he is capable. He doesn't get a whole lot of opportunities on offense, but if you have,
and those opportunities are going to be less.
Yeah, isn't it just a numbers game at this point, Jason?
They kept six last year. You mentioned the two they drafted. Watson, assuming he starts on whatever list he has to start on at the beginning of the season, mm-hmm. because he's not going to be ready. So that means five guys, their spots are safe. So we're basically looking at him, Mecole Hardman, and Heath for one spot.
Yep. Yeah. And so, I think he will end up with it.
Yeah. But then what do you do when Watson comes back?
Then you carry seven. Like, they've carried seven multiple times throughout the last 3 years, right? Like, and again, the other problem with that theory is, and we saw it with Corner the last couple of, like, Nate Hobbs didn't practice yesterday, right? And I always hear Ted Thompson's voice in my head of, you always think you have depth, and then you're two sprained ankles away from being thin somewhere. Mm-hmm. I'm not, it could very well figure itself out with injuries, right? That could be, mm-hmm. I mean, look, I don't wish this on Romeo Dobbs at all, but if you're not concerned about, and I, you know, he didn't want to talk about it, which I also thought was a very telling thing, right? Because if he's totally fine and all ready to go, you know, I thought he would maybe be willing to at least discuss it on some level, but those two concussions last year, he's still wearing his Guardian cap in practice every day. Like, I don't know how this team is going to shake out, and neither does Bo, and neither does Brian Gutekunst. So as of today, when everyone's healthy, because they're doing everything at half speed or three-quarters speed except the two-minute drill, yeah, they got way more wide receivers than they got roster spots for. But they got Savion Williams running around in a red no-contact jersey in no-contact practices, by the way. So I'm not clear on what his injury is, but if they're going to that extreme to have him in a red quarterback jersey like they did with Tucker Kraft during the season last year, I don't know what he's dealing with. I'm just saying that we've got a long way to go between now and September 7th, and there could be some things that will solve your we have too many wide receivers issue without having to move on from anybody.
Jason, Matt LaFleur was asked how many starts it takes for a quarterback before you really know what you have. Take a listen to what he said.
I think every case is a little different. So, I mean, I feel pretty confident that we know what we have in Jordan, and we got a lot of confidence in him.
You like that response from the head coach about the quarterback?
Yeah, I was sitting behind Pete Doherty from the Press Gazette when he asked that. I contemplated, but it wasn't really my topic. Well, what do you have? Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the follow-up. Because, look, I there's a few... I have curtailed, as you know, my social media usage significantly. But sometimes there's people that post stuff and it catches your eye. And I am really... I think Jordan Love is a good young quarterback. I don't agree with Matt LaFleur. I don't think we know what he is yet. I think we know that he's pretty good. And he could be really good. He could just be pretty good. I don't know that. Maybe he does. He knows more about quarterbacks than I do. So, you know, more power to him. But for me anyway, you know, is he going to be an MVP? Is he going to be a Super Bowl champion? Is he going to be an offensive player of the year? Is he going to be a top five quarterback? I'm glad Matt knows, because I don't. And I have these folks that, just because I'm not willing to crown him, think that I don't like him, or I think he sucks, or whatever else. And it's just so frustrating to me, because I'm not saying he's bad. I'm saying I don't know. Which is okay to say. He's going into such a pivotal year. And look, if you're one of the folks that believe that he is the latest in the succession and he's going to go win a couple of MVPs and the Packers are going to win a Super Bowl with him at quarterback, great. I hope you're right. That makes him an incredibly compelling figure, and it makes for one hell of a story that they have gone back to back to back now with MVP quarterbacks. I haven't seen enough to be able to say that. Like, you know, look, the Packers posted the video, which I find fascinating since we're not allowed to take video during team periods, but they were posting the touchdown pass that he threw to Hardman. I mean, there was some debate as to whether he got the ball off or he would have been sacked by Lucas Van Ness, but there's no debate. It was a freaking unbelievable throw with pressure in his face. It's a 75-yard touchdown pass. And he dropped it in the bucket to Hardman, who had gotten behind Gregory Jr. And Evan Williams. I mean, it was a phenomenal throw. Am I required to also point out that on the previous play, Carrington Valentine dropped a pick that he should have had against him? Like, I just find it so exasperating. I'm not rooting for him to fail in any way, shape, or form, but I do feel like it's our job not to just get carried away with a narrative, because look, I don't care what anybody else thinks. We prematurely crowned him after the way he played in the second half of 2023. And I am among the people who did that. I mean, he was phenomenal in the final eight games and in that playoff game and for three quarters of the playoff game against the 49ers. Can he sustain that? Can he play at that consistent level? Can he avoid critical mistakes when the game is on the line, when it's the most important games of the year? Because in his last five quarters of playoff football, he's thrown five interceptions. So it's great. I'm glad Matt LaFleur knows what he is. I hope he turns out to be... I would have loved, with beers on the table, for Matt LaFleur to answer honestly what he thinks he is. And just to what degree he thinks he is, you know, great or Hall of Fame worthy or MVP capable or all those things. I would love to know what the truthful answer would be.
I saw that the defense had to do push-ups because they lost that drill, but it was under protest, to your point, Jason, because they thought that Lucas Van Ness had gotten to the QB.
I mean,
so they
does Lucas Van Ness deserve the benefit of the doubt?
Here we go.
I'm just saying.
Jason.
By the way, so now they're doing this because they don't, just real quickly, so they don't have enough days to do a team bonding thing, so they're doing other stuff. And I thought that's why they had to do push-ups too, but it turns out they're playing these games where they show players' faces up on the board, up on the projection screen, and you have to identify who they are. They're not doctored in any way. So basically... do you know that this guy is on your team?
Wait, we're not talking like baby pictures or eighth grade graduation. Just
so they're throwing up Gregory Jr. Jr.'s face
headshot
up there. Yeah.
It's a headshot.
Are they putting up guys who aren't on the team too to try and throw a curveball? Or is it just
like throw Eric Stokes' picture up there?
Yeah, no, and so they had two rookies from offense and two rookies from defense, you know, and there were guys that, I mean, that's a tough deal, right? If you're a rookie, you're trying to just figure out the playbook and whatever else. But, yeah, there were apparently it was the offensive rookies who inaccurately scored on that test. And so that's why they had to do the push-ups, because I thought the same thing as the practice ended. I'm like, well, they just won the, regardless of sack or no sack, they just won it on a 75-yard touchdown. Why are they doing push-ups? So Matt LaFleur actually clarified that with us.
Jason, I was with friends last night who wanted me to ask you this. So there is interest, and you don't have to tell us who the person is, but do you know who Rodgers is married to? Why hasn't that come out? I mean, there is interest. If this was Tom Brady, and I'm not saying Rodgers is Tom Brady, but he's Tom Brady light.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who?
I don't. I don't. And I don't think AJ Hawk does either, from what I understand. And AJ is obviously much closer. And again, I don't know if that's accurate. I don't watch McAfee, but I would say this. Why is it always just, there's always something.
I know. Right? It's just like, what's the big deal?
Yeah. And I was talking about this with a couple of guys on the sideline yesterday at practice. Like, I don't understand. Like, back when we were doing the show, he went to one of his younger brother Jordan's games, and ESPN showed him in the stands with Destiny, his girlfriend, who was wearing a very large engagement ring. Like, you could see it from the press box, I think. And he was like, I remember coming into my office the following day, the following Tuesday when we did the show, and he was all pissed off that ESPN made a big deal about him possibly being engaged, and they kept showing him. I'm like, well, dude, you went to your brother's game. The rock on her finger was bigger than my hand. Like,
she a stripper?
What did you expect?
Stop it. Stop it right now.
Is that a stage name?
No, but she's like a girlfriend from back home, right? She was from Northern California.
I will admit this though. This is one of my favorite stories. So back when he wasn't a starter yet, and I was at Best Buy, and I was at the little computer kiosk, because they were sold out. This is going to sound, I mean, the young folks that listen to your show are going to be like, you were doing what? I was looking up a CD that was out of stock that I had been looking forward to purchasing. I think it might have been Bare Naked Ladies' new album. And I'm standing there at the kiosk typing stuff up, and this guy comes up behind me and says, excuse me, sir, do you need any help? And it was Rodgers. And I turn and I'm like, hey, okay, you know, you got me. Good one. Ha, ha, ha. And he's like, hey, I want you to meet my girlfriend. This is Destiny. And I swear to God, I thought he was joking. That was not a name that I was expecting.
Jason.
And so I chuckled and I was like, and then I was like, oh my God, I'm such a jerk. That's actually her name.
Funny story about Bare Naked Ladies. So
there's a lot of stories about that.
I'm in a meeting. It was just me and Mike Sherman, and the phone rings, and it's his daughter. And he's arguing with her. Like, I told you, I don't want you listening to that stuff. And he's going at it. And I'm like, what in the hell is going on here? So he hangs up the phone. I'm like, Mike, what the hell was that all about? I don't want my daughter listening to Bare Naked Ladies. That's wrong. And I'm like, lighten up, Francis. Jeez, I'm crow.
Have you heard the story about why their name is Bare Naked Ladies?
No.
Because they were a band.
No.
And they couldn't get people in the door to their gigs. So they changed their name to Bare Naked Ladies because they figured if they put Bare Naked Ladies on the posters,
people would show up.
At least pop
well,
in
it worked.
See what all the fuss was about. And it worked.
Mike Sherman did not like it.
Yeah, not for Mike Sherman, it didn't work. Exactly.
No. All right. Well, that was very interesting. Guys, we'll take a break from Jason Wilde. Jason, thanks for hanging out with us. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
That's Jason Wilde. You can hear him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Didn't get to touch on this with Jason, but want to touch on this when we come back. The explanation of how Goody and the Packers are handling the dead cap hit from the Jair Alexander cut. We'll get into that right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Looking for localized banking solutions and a strategic partner? Fifth Third Bank has been shaping the future for businesses for 167 years and for the last 15 right here in Milwaukee. We offer industry-specific expertise, local decision-making, and extensive experience to help you navigate the ever-changing business landscape with your business in mind. At Fifth Third, they're big enough to provide sophisticated solutions and expert guidance, yet empowered to make local decisions and build strong community connections, which is something they certainly have done here in Milwaukee, as I mentioned, for the last 15 years. Experience the commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Thanks, Ernie. I'm going to Venmo you that money right after the show.
You don't know how to use Venmo.
Made my workload much less. But Ernie,
you don't know how to. Ernie, does it ever?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, we just talked to Jason Wilde. If you missed any of that conversation, of course, you can find it on the all-new ESPN Wisconsin app. So the Packers released cornerback Jair Alexander earlier this week. Sort of saw it coming, but maybe there was like a plot twist there right before the end where we thought, hey, maybe these two sides are going to figure it out and he's going to be back in a green and gold uniform. Did not happen. But Matt Schneidman of The Athletic reported that the Packers are applying the full dead cap hit of $17.04 million to their 2025 salary cap. Gabe, what does this mean?
This means that they are not going to spread it out over 2 years. They have plenty of cap space. They're still saving money on this year's cap because the cap hit was less than what they had initially were going to owe. The dead cap hit was lower than the cap hold that they had for Jair Alexander, but it basically just means, hey, we're comfortable with where we are as a team. We don't want to push off any more dead money into the future. We can afford to take this now. And if they still want to throw an extension the way of Zach Tom, they still have money to do that because they were a top team in salary cap remaining this offseason until, you know, before this deal anyway. So they're getting a few extra million bucks in there. But yeah, they want to make sure that they are cap healthy for 2026.
Who else do they have to sign? I mean, there's Watson, right?
In terms of future guys? I mean, if you want to sign one of the receivers, either Dobbs or Watson, presumably Dobbs would be, you know, not on that list versus Watson. But Watson, Tom, if you want to give some guaranteed money for Elton to kind of secure his future a little bit, I would say those would be the top three priorities.
And then,
I guess if you want to give, because they declined the fifth year option on Quay Walker, but they said, hey, we want to sign him to, you know, we still think that he factors into our long term plan. So he would be somebody that was going to be a free agent to do, though.
Let's just say that Tucker Kraft goes out and has a monster year. Unbelievable. Then you have to sign him next year to an extension, mm-hmm. correct?
Yeah. Well, I am always of the thinking, if you want to sign someone to an extension, do it sooner rather than later, because the longer you wait, the more expensive it gets.
Correct. So the list could be fairly long if they don't extend anyone this year and they roll into next year. You're looking at three big money guys, potentially.
Well, I wouldn't say Watson's a big money guy. You're just going to have to pay him starter money, you know, $10 million, you know. Somebody who's kind of equal to him, I would say, in terms of production has been Rashad Bateman from the Ravens, who just got a contract extension around $10 million, maybe just a little less than that per year. And I would say production-wise, that's what Christian Watson would command.
What would the benefit of spreading it out over time have been?
More money now, so you could front-load some of those contracts. if you really wanted to. But now you could also, hey, we're sending to you an extension. You have this year's contract. We can front load it next year, right? You can kind of manipulate it, I think, both ways of, oh, yeah, we'll take the money now. We'll take the money later. But now you can just kind of get it off your books and not have to worry about it next year.
What it effectively did was stamp on, stomp out any smoldering belief that there could be anyone acquired from the Packers.
I agree.
Not that we necessarily here believed it, but it left the opportunity open. I think this effectively closes the door on any sort of trade or addition that would be meaningful.
But are they doing this because it worked with Rodgers? Because they took that entire cap hit in 1 year, didn't they? Because they thought they were going to stink. So like, probably not. And then all of a sudden they get hot at the end of the year and like, hey, we're in this thing.
I think they spread that out.
I thought they took
because
the
it was
whole
such a
thing.
It was such a big number that they spread it out.
I think it's important here that a move like this would indicate you are trying to clear up future money to have a clear cap number heading into 2026. Now, we don't want to think about next year because this year hasn't even started, but this is strategic to open you up to free agency and signing some of those guys you think might be due big contracts. Like, it's a play for the future good of the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, it's like paying down a house.
Right. Right.
It's a smart thing to do, I think.
And I mean, the Packers and NFL teams are looking at 2026 and who could be a free agent. Like that's part of their plans. They're planning that far ahead. So if they think there's going to be an opportunity, a better class than last year, then that's where you start to see that type of money make sense.
Is there a chance that Brian Gutekunst and company have actually targeted 2026 as the year that they will be more healthy financially and hopefully physically, and that is the year that they have circled on their long-term calendars
probably
as the year that they can win a title?
Eagles will run their course. Detroit will, they're going to start feeling because they got to sign Hutchinson, which is you're looking at.
I thought he
potentially.
Got paid.
I thought he already got paid.
But no, I don't think so. He didn't get paid. I'm telling you.
Look at me.
He didn't. Why don't you guys trust me? I say one bad thing that wasn't true.
One?
What?
And all of a sudden, I am not trustworthy.
Just out of curiosity, what was the one thing?
They do have to pay Aiden Hutchinson.
Thank you.
Wow. Vindicated.
Do I get street cred now?
Play it.
Chewy was right. Holy.
You get that?
Chewy was right.
That's better than street cred.
I mean, the fact that there's a drop that says, holy, Chewy was right.
I know. So I screw up a few names every now and then. That's not a big deal.
Usually I let you slide on the names.
Yeah.
Because I know what you're saying.
But when it comes to contract, I'm pretty dialed in.
Hey, speaking of not calling people
Mark Chmura, NFL salary cap expert.
Yeah.
I can't believe yesterday y'all let me do the from the window to the wall, and then I was singing low, low, low. Those are two totally
different songs.
Two totally, completely different songs. Same era.
Yeah.
Same. I was wearing
probably
the same,
came out within 2 weeks of each other.
Same clubbing clothes for sure. When they were being spun by the DJs.
What you're telling me is we need another drop that says sorry, Chewy. Fair?
No. You don't get both because the Chewy was right is already the vindication.
Okay.
If we tacked on an I'm sorry to the Chewy was
no.
right.
I won't do it.
We'll do it. You're out Monday anyway, so.
I am.
I'll backdoor him.
What do you mean? Wait,
am I off on Monday?
You are now.
You excused me?
Thanks. I can't believe it. Nobody said. He said, I'll backdoor him. And you guys were like, keep on moving. Just keep on moving.
Yeah. That's what we have to do here.
No, we don't.
Us not recognizing those are two different songs in the moment or mentioning it, it's because they're effectively not different songs. That era of music is all the same. It doesn't matter.
It's all one song.
Right.
Nobody came out with multiple songs. Right. It was all just a continuation. Right.
I will tell you that we were listening to Low in the car yesterday, and I was like, huh, I made a big mistake on the show today referencing my 2000 songs.
Yeah, because the window to window screwed me up. Yeah.
Window
to the windows. Let's play it again. Yeah,
Chewy was right. Holy, Chewy was right.
What is it? Window to door?
Sure.
Yep.
To the wall.
Oh, to the wall.
To the porch.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I didn't get it.
Well, I messed it up so bad. All right. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still a lot of stuff to get to in the second hour of the show. We still want to touch on the nonsense. We're going to talk about our guy, Mizorowski, who's out at the ballpark. And we've got top 8 at 8. Hang around. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on.
Milwaukee just got hotter. Announcing the buys of summer events at Ewald Automotive Group. Get the lowest prices guaranteed on new vehicles. Ewald will beat your best price by $500, or they'll pay you $500 cash guaranteed. With over 1,500 vehicles to choose from, you'll be sure to find the perfect ride for your family. Get this, 11 brands, 10 locations, one easy experience. Don't miss Ewald's Buys of Summer Sales event. It's going on now. See dealer details. Expires at month's end. It all starts at ewaldauto.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
If it's gotten to the point...
No, I don't think shower.
What do you mean? What do you mean you're not going to take a shower? You just told me you're offended by your own BO.
No, but I think it's deodorant, Gabe. Showering does nothing. It really doesn't.
You are wrong.
Because...
You must be showering wrong.
On 94.5 ESPN.
If you're buying or building a new home, Great Midwest Bank helps guide you every step of the way. While my family and I search for a lake home, we know Great Midwest Bank will take care of giving us the best options. So when you're ready for your next big life decision, get fast and flexible mortgage pre-approvals straight from Great Midwest Bank's experienced and, most importantly, local loan officers. From start to finish, bank with confidence. Great Midwest Bank is your simply local equal housing lender. See all of their customizable products at greatmidwestbank.com. Celebrating the debut of The Miz today at AmFam Field. So we are talking about your big first, life's biggest first. I was thinking, guys, riding a bike. I remember learning how to ride a bike at my grandma and grandpa's house. My dad put me on my cousin's bike and we went down the street, down the street, down the street, down the street. And I just have one of those core memory flash frames in my brain of being in front of my grandpa and grandma's house on the bike.
That's first poop?
I don't remember that, no.
Nope.
I do.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. It's back in the day when your parent used to put, there was a special chair that you would sit in and they put like Cheerios.
Oh, so it wasn't your first poop, like.
First time you used the big boy potty.
Well, first the big boy potty. Okay. There you go.
I was about to say, there is a 0% right? chance you remember filling your diaper.
Yeah. And then when their kid's face turns beet red, you're like, all right, they're almost done. Don't you remember those days?
I don't think you remember your first. I'm going to be honest. I'm calling bogus.
And in the potty?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No way.
Sure,
unless
yeah.
you were like 6.
I remembered the moon landing when I was 6 months old. Okay. We all know that.
Is that your first memory?
Yes. Yes. And you guys think I'm crazy.
I remember when I
independent of this situation.
Wow. I remember my first bike ride without training wheels. I just got sick of them and took them off myself and said, let's go figure it out.
Wow.
Did it.
Nice.
Nailed
work.
It.
I remember.
You remember your first digger after that? After you went down to the bike?
Well, it was almost instantly after taking them off. Yes. But I got it by the end of that day.
How old were you, by the way?
I think I was probably a little, I didn't have a bike right away. I didn't really have a neighborhood that was conducive to it. I think I was like 6, 7, 8, like that sort of area.
I was 7 when I learned how to ride a bike. And then Kira, my youngest, is 5. And we taught her a couple months ago. And I was like, I don't know at 5 years old if I would have been ready to ride the two-wheeler without the training wheels. What about first concert? Anybody have like vivid memories
yeah,
of the first time?
I remember mine.
Keith Urban at the Walworth County Fair.
Rat.
So yes then, Josh.
Rat at the Worcester Centrum.
What is Rat?
You know the songs. Round and Round.
Round and Round.
Wow, that was bad.
Josh, he's teeing
it
up.
I'm familiar with the band Rat. I do not have any of their songs.
You'd know Rat. You'd know like 5 of their songs.
All right. Gabe, you remember your first concert?
I think it was at the Dodge County Fair. Might have been... Actually, I think it was Toby Keith at the Dodge County Fair.
We got like they had
somehow
here.
Well, they somehow like got Toby Keith before he became Toby Keith, and like his big hit came out that summer leading into it. And it's like, what the hell's Toby Keith doing at the Dodge County Fair when he could be playing so much so many venues that are so much bigger.
Don't disparage the Dodge County Fair.
Oh, hey, look, there's lots to see and do at the Dodge County Fair.
First smooch?
Yes.
Yep. Behind the Brownie House at Grammar School.
What house?
Don't you remember Brownies were opposite of Cub Scouts?
Oh, Brownies. Yeah,
so
yeah.
Girl Scouts.
Yeah.
It was called Brownies.
Yeah, yeah. The lower level. Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Everyone knows this song.
You know this song.
So this is rap.
Yeah.
Okay.
Out on the streets.
I've never heard this song before.
Never heard it.
What? No. Oh,
there's not a 0% chance.
Is there a chorus that is gonna like pop for me?
Yeah. This is reminiscent of Homer telling me he's never heard an AC/DC song.
Well, I've heard
no Homer, they play Thunderstruck before every Marchetti.
I've never heard that song.
This has 60 million views on YouTube.
I've never heard this song.
Here you go.
Nothing.
Great tune.
Okay. I think you got a bit of nostalgia working there.
Well, Chewy thinks every song from the 80s is great.
It is.
You mentioned Toby Keith a second ago. Did I ever tell you my Toby Keith story? Told you guys my Toby Keith story? Never heard it.
Oh my gosh.
I've never heard Round and Round. I've heard You Spin Me Right Round.
I would
baby,
say
Right Round.
94% of the people listening have heard Round It. Pull it. Yes or no?
Yes.
The problem is Twitter skews a little younger. And I don't know if you told me Rat Round and Round, I'd know it. As soon as I hear it, I know it instantly.
Mm, yeah.
That's crazy.
Those first few chords, I knew it.
Yeah. Great.
First plane ride, first trip. Keep getting us your first this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy as we celebrate Jacob Mizorowski making his first MLB start tonight for the Milwaukee Brewers. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still a lot of stuff to get to. Remember, it's a 5-pound, 10-pound day here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.